I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Sonora, California, in the Gold Rush Sierras of California. We're in a very historic town. They were digging up your main street during the Gold Rush, weren't they?
They were indeed.
Lisa Mayo, tell us about what you do here.
I am the president and CEO for Visit Tuolumne County, and my job is to encourage and inspire visitors to come and stay here in our beautiful county. We have a very large county, so there's lots for people to see and do, and they can stay for several days, and we would welcome that.
That's really cool. I met you, over 10 years ago, and you were working here in tourism.
That's right.
So hopefully you have some great stories to tell of some cool things you come across and fell in love with over the last decade.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot. I actually grew up in Tuolumne County.
Oh, so, you did?
Yes. My family used to vacation here, but then when I was about 8 years old, we moved here.
Oh, wow.
They loved it so much.
And then you had to go away to Cal Poly for college.
I did. I had to. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great.
But then you came back.
I sure did.
Did you major in journalism or media marketing or what?
I majored in recreation administration.
Uh-huh.
And now today it has some other fancy name like parks, recreation, and tourism, I think, something, or experience management, something like that.
And you have a lake right nearby, a couple.
We have some pretty awesome lakes. Yeah, we have some really large lower country lakes.
Don Pedro?
Yes, yes, Don Pedro is awesome.
Talk to us about recreating on the lakes.
I know that fishing is a big sport that a lot of people like to come here. And again, we have so many lakes and rivers and high country lakes. And so you can catch different kind of fish at different times of year. I'm sure you know all about that.
A little bit.
There's oftentimes tournaments here on our lakes. We have houseboating on both New Maloney's Lake and Lake Don Pedro.
So people can rent the houseboats?
Yeah. In fact, at Lake Don Pedro, they have what they call the flotel.
Wow.
And you can just hang out on a houseboat, and they can leave it docked at the dock.
So the
you
whole
don't have
time?
You don't have to worry about driving it anywhere, and you just get to float on the hotel, hence the flotel.
I knew somebody that did that, and then they rented a little speedboat,
which
they tied up to the big mothership.
And that's fun.
Tell us about closer to home, right here in Sonora, some of your favorite things you're most proud of you'd like to share.
Sonora is just a great town. It's our only incorporated city in the whole county.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of a hub for a lot of activity. We have, of course, City Hall there, but we also have our county offices there as well. So there's a lot of busyness during the week, but that I think has also helped to inspire some of restaurants that we have that are so amazing. Sonora is a great jumping off point to go to other areas of the county like Columbia State Historic Park. That's a great little park. You know, the streets are closed down. There's all the Gold Rush buildings, and people can meander on the streets without having to worry about their kids running off. You can ride a stagecoach. You can learn how to make candles and soap and visit a mercantile, go to an old saloon. That's a really great place, too, that's just real nearby, along with Jamestown.
Oh, when we were up here last time with you, we went there to the Railroad Museum. That was cool.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah. I just got to have a tour of that again the other day. I've probably been on tour there 10 or 15 times, and you always learn something new. Mm-hmm. It was really fun to take a group through there and recall the movie history. And
there are a couple classic movies where they use those trains, right?
Yeah, there's High Noon. Mm-hmm. More recently, there's Back to the Future 3.
Right.
Drew Barrymore and Bad Girls was filmed there. And then looking a little further back, we're talking like Petticoat Junction, yeah. Little House on the Prairie. I think there's been over 200 TV movie type things filmed there, and then another 100 or so commercials, documentaries.
And you can go on a steam engine train ride out of there, right?
You can, yes. At certain times of the year, yes, they give the steam train rides, and it's pretty awesome. And in fact, They'll be starting up the wildflower trains soon in April. And that's where you can go out and you help spread wildflower seed, and then you can come back later and see what you planted from the train.
The seeds you've sown.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I love it. And then Jamestown, that's a funky little place.
Yeah.
Tell us about Jamestown.
Jamestown is a pretty cool little town. It has a lot of antique stores in it. You have that end of it, and then you have like a really cool cigar lounge. So, you know, it's got a good mix. There's a couple of historic hotels there as well, and some great restaurants. In fact, a new barbecue place I've heard is going in soon, so we're excited about that. But also in Jamestown is where you can hop on the Walk of Fame.
And
the
Walk of Fame.
Well, it's much like the Hollywood Walk of Fame, but it is our own version. And it takes you from downtown Jamestown. And if you follow it, you'll end up at Railtown. And along the way, you'll get to see a lot of the movies or television shows that were filmed in the Jamestown area.
And then years ago, I remember it was popular with Harley motorcycle guys, right?
Yes, we had an incredible Harley Davidson store there, and they did a lot to bring in a lot of the motorcyclists, and it was a great time. Unfortunately, that store is no longer there.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a sad day for everyone, I think, when they left.
Was that a COVID casualty? Or?
I think it was a little bit prior to that, but just, yeah, they had a couple stores, and we're going to focus on one of the other ones.
Bikers still like coming there.
Yes, and they still love to come up here. There's still plenty for them to do. I think they love the curves of our roads. My husband is a biker. I've been on the back of his bike, and they definitely like those curves.
Yeah.
So that's a good, it's a good time.
That's really cool. Okay, back in the home zone right here in Sonora. I mean, just Main Street, walking up and down there is a journey in itself.
It is. Yeah. Main Street is really one of the coolest things I think that has happened there over the last few years is that we've seen a lot of young people coming back home and opening businesses. And that is really, I think, very special to see. The craziest thing to me is that so many of them did open during the COVID time, and you're thinking, what are they doing? But boy, have they been successful. And I think if you start with that challenging time, you can only go up, right?
Yeah.
And you can,
yeah,
you
can
only
make
learn.
It in COVID. Yeah.
Yeah, you can make it anywhere. So,
an example of some of the shops that they've opened.
There's one that is right next door to where my office is, our visitor center, and it's called Local Collective. It's a young family, and it's local makers. So they've brought in a lot of the artists and makers, I mean, people that have honey or olive oil and that type of thing, and you can get all that in their store, and then they have a cute little, which we are so thankful for, coffee bar. I mean, we're always over there getting coffee from them, but...
So they know where to find you at the office.
Oh, yeah, that like knock if you're slow and we'll come over and get our coffee, you know, so they're so busy all the time, and it's just so neat to see them being successful, and they sell a lot of the, like, Sonora merchandise, so that's kind of neat. And then another one of the shops is a flower shop called Wild Bud, and they do flowers for weddings, but they also do classes like on how to arrange flowers and how to make wreaths and that type of thing. There's just a lot of really cool things now.
So it's kind of double-edged in that what you're implying, it's local serving, but the visitor gets to benefit, you know, kind of that bonus.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is a benefit to the visitors, and I think sometimes they're surprised at kind of those newer, trendy type stores and restaurants that we do have, because we have such a mix of the history. Like I was talking about Columbia earlier, or Railtown. You have that history, but then you've got this whole other kind of more hip side of things as well.
A little bit more about right in town. I mean, I still love, it's like the county building there, the old stone building. That's so beautiful.
There's the dome that's up on the hill,
and
that's one that gets photographed a lot. The Red Church, the historic Red Church, is one that's probably the most photographed.
That's a classic. That's Episcopalian, wood-sided, just post-Gold Rush era, really old.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. It's really neat. Let's see, 3 years ago, our Sonora Chamber of Commerce started Christmastown, and Christmastown is like a... It kind of turns Sonora into like a little Hallmark movie, you know. It's really neat, and the Red Church is really a pinnacle of that, because as you're coming up the street, up the main street at night during Christmas, that Red Church is just lit up, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just so beautiful.
When it's so strategic, it's up on the top of the hill,
yes.
kind of like this Y, so you see it so far away.
Exactly. Yeah, they've done some nice improvements there too on, you know, for people to cross, and it looks really nice. It's a really neat spot.
Mm-hmm. A little bit more about right in the heart of town.
We do have some tunnels that run under the town.
These are Gold Rush era tunnels.
For
rum runners and stuff.
So I hear different things. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what the truth is, mm-hmm. but I hear prohibition. I hear for taking gold back and forth to banks or paying people, all of these types mm-hmm. of things. You can't go in the tunnels.
Oh, have you tried?
I will not comment on that. There's a store that you can actually go downstairs mm-hmm. called the Thirsty Prospector. And you can go down there and you can look into the tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
I am hoping for the day that someone will be able to go in there and start leading some tours, because I think there would be some amazing stories there.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a whole business.
It is.
Tunnel tours of the Gold Rush.
Oh, yeah. That's the first thing I look for when I go somewhere. I'm like, what tours do you have that are going to take me on a historic or ghost tour or mm-hmm. something like that? So it would be really neat to have something like that. And I think there are some folks that are trying to do ghost tours, and those are going to be above ground for now, but you never know.
Definitely a haunted town.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really neat. Sonora also has escape rooms now too, a couple of escape rooms, mm-hmm. and those have been really popular for mm-hmm. people and are fun to go into, and you know, they're not for everybody. It's funny, some people you say, hey, escape room, and it's like no, I didn't say panic room, I said escape room. You know, so they do great there, and it's really neat for when groups are in town or families, and they can go and spend some time in there, especially if it's raining. It's great mm-hmm. indoor activity.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, you got some more.
Well, I thought one of the things that would be interesting to talk about would be Tuolumne, the name Tuolumne.
Yeah.
It's hard for a lot of people to say it, and when you look at it, you're like, what is that? But it's spelled...
I've heard they probably butchered a bunch of different ways, huh?
Oh, man. I mean, we have so many websites that we've purchased with all the different misspellings so that we don't miss people when it's being misspelled. But Tuolumne is actually a Miwok name. And
that's the local Native Indians that lived here.
Correct. The local tribes. Mm-hmm. And it means stone houses mm-hmm. and the people of stone houses. It also means cave dwellers. So it has some multiple meanings. And I think as you look at cave dwellers, maybe because the caves were stone, so therefore the house was stone. But it also means to dig or to burrow, meaning that they were people that worked with the land and in the land. That's where the name comes from. And when we try to tell people how to say it, we usually say, follow me to Tuolumne. It just works well for tourism promotion.
There you go. How does that name show up around the area?
Oh, gosh. Well, again, with our tribes, and we have a town called Tuolumne as well. There's different trails. There's the Tuolumne River. The Tuolumne River... That's a great recreation spot.
I mean, is there whitewater rafting on that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's class 4 and 5. It's pretty.
No, thank you.
It's pretty awesome. I've gone on an overnight trip down the river, and that it's pretty neat. You just see so much wildlife, and you're just out there. You feel like you're just in the middle of nowhere, mm-hmm. you know. But
when's the best time to whitewater raft on the river?
Usually the summertime is going to be your best bet, mm-hmm. You know, after the rains and things have kind of slowed down a little bit. But
plus you don't freeze to death.
Exactly. Yeah. The Tuolumne River is over. If you looked at the crow flies, it's between the town of Tuolumne and Groveland.
Mm-hmm.
Groveland is a great town to go to on the way to Yosemite, but we also tell people you need to stop in Groveland, stay the night there. You know,
Groveland Hotel.
The Groveland Hotel.
I love that place.
Yeah.
That's really, really old, isn't it?
It is. It's very cool. It's a great spot. There's mm-hmm. a great little restaurant there now. There's the Hotel Charlotte. A lot of places for people to stay all along that corridor. We're actually getting a new resort out that way, and it's going to be called Firefall, Firefall Ranch. And that will be in between Groveland and the entrance to Yosemite. So just a few miles outside of Groveland. So it's going to be really, it's going to be 55 units on 300 acres. So a pretty spectacular property with villas and little cottages and all that. So it's going to, we're really looking forward to that opening up, I think, May 1st.
Wow, interesting. The Gold Rush Trail, Highway, 49? Where you can spend a long day just covering the highlights, you know, down to Mariposa.
Oh, yeah. I just did that drive not too long ago, and it's a interesting drive. We generally have people stay on 120 because of the road. I mean, the 49 can be very, it's very, very windy. I say you can actually see your back license plate when you're going around the corners.
It's not a road you want to be in a hurry on.
Exactly. Yeah. And 120 has, you know, some cool things along it, and Hetch Hetchy Reservoir is up that way. And, of course, that's inside of the park. It's in the Tuolumne County half, so we like that.
So you're known as the literal gateway to Yosemite, right?
We are. We are the Big Oak Flat entrance into Yosemite. It's the closest to the Bay Area. I like to think it's the most scenic. I think it actually is.
And from Sonora, you're very close.
Yeah, we're about an hour from the gate in Sonora. And then once you get to the gate, it's about another half hour into the valley floor.
So I assume that a lot of people home base here in Sonora.
Yeah, in Sonora, day trip, Jamestown, Columbia. Yeah, they'll they'll stay here and go that way. Or
And like Yosemite people too, right?
Yep.
So reservations are still going to be mandatory in season at Yosemite?
They're starting them a little earlier and ending them a little later. And anybody that wants to know about that, I'd recommend they go to the National Park Service website to see like when you want to come and make sure that you get the right ones. So
you guys don't do packages where you arrange for the Yosemite side of things?
No. Usually when people are staying at the resorts along the way, like Rush Creek or Evergreen, some of those, they'll have opportunities for people to package. And then we also have, we work with in May into October, is the Yosemite Area Regional Transportation System, also known as YARTS. And so when you book a trip on YARTS into the park, you don't have to worry about the reservation.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that's a good way to see it.
How do you market yourself? Do you have a tagline or a moniker, you know? What are you? Who are you? How do you how do you encapsulate that?
We like to say that we are one destination with three vacations. We have the Gold Country, Highway 49 that we were talking about. We have Yosemite and Highway 120, which is its own part. And then we have the incredible High Sierra, and that's Highway 108. So we have these three main highways that take you to three very different corridors of the county. And it's really neat because it's fun to kind of intermingle those different destinations and have that extreme of I can be up in the high country, you know, hiking to a lake that hardly anybody's going to be at. And then that night I can be down in Sonora and go to the theater, an amazing theater by that, you know. So that will be very cool. I think you're going to get to see some of that. It's a fun time. But there's so much you can do here. And if you just want to kick back, that's perfectly fine too.
How long do you tell people to plan on the drive from SFO or San Francisco?
Great question. I think I've made it in 2 hours from the airport.
Did
to
the CHP see you?
No, but it was in the middle of the night. So, you know, we try to be realistic about it. Sometimes there can be traffic and depending on what time of day and all that and what day of the week. But really, it's probably about 2.5 to 3 hours is about what it should take to get here.
Do you find that a lot of the people that come to stay here, this is a part of a greater tour of the Sierras or the wine country, like Lodi and whatnot?
Yeah, sometimes, especially with our international travelers, a lot of them are doing a loop. They're starting either in LA or San Francisco and then ending in the other, but coming through our area, Tahoe, going over the Sierra Nevada into Nevada, Vegas, and then going over. So yeah, there's a lot of different routes that people take, but it's oftentimes it is another part of California that they're seeing. One of the things that's kind of fun here that is happening and is the disc golf. It is really huge here, and I understand that we have the most disc golf courses per capita of any other county in California.
Wow.
So that's kind of a fun thing. One of the cool things is we have a ski resort, Doddridge Mountain Resort. It used to be called Doddridge Ski Resort, but now it's Mountain Resort because they're open year-round, and you can actually go and play disc golf there. They have a really great course, and you ride the chairlifts up and pack your gear, and I mean, it's amazing, like, seeing people with these huge backpacks with all the discs. I guess because if they lose them, they have to have backup, like golf.
I did disc golf in Tennessee.
Okay.
Went to, like, three different places. And if you want to upset them, call it frisbee golf.
Yeah, well, when I was a kid, that's what we did.
I know.
We played frisbee golf.
I know. But now it's, like, bad attitude if you come up with that one.
That's funny. That's a really neat development, though, up there at Doddridge, and you can also now take your mountain bike up and take your mountain bike up the chairlift and ride down. And I think what it has helped do, Pinecrest Lake Resort is also right there adjacent to Doddridge, so busy in the summertime. And I think with Dodge now being open year-round, it's helped to kind of disperse some of the visitors so that it's not as crowded and, you know, people have more to do. And so that's been really great.
How about Bear Valley? Is that in the zone too?
Bear Valley is actually in Alpine County.
So we don't talk about
the we love Bear Valley. It's in fact the new owners at Dodge Ridge just also bought Bear Valley. So it'll be a nice little exchange there now. So yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, your turn.
My turn. So we were talking about tribes earlier, and we have the Chicken Ranch tribe, and they have Chicken Ranch Casino down in the Jamestown area, and they have a major expansion coming this summer. That's kind of exciting. It's at 198 rooms.
Wow.
And when you come into the county now, if you're coming up Highway 120 or 108, you will not miss it. It is set up against Table Mountain.
Is that the one they're building right now?
Mm-hmm.
That thing is huge.
Yes, it's huge.
It's like, whoa, what is that?
In that space, they'll have casino, and then they'll have Of course, the lodging. They'll have nice convention center, meeting space. I think they're going to have like some rooftop restaurants, things like that. Mm-hmm. But what's really beautiful about this place is when you're up there, you can look actually into Yosemite from there. It's pretty amazing.
That's very amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be a real neat piece of Tuolumne County to get to promote.
Coming in today, I saw snow up on the hills above you. How low has it come down recently?
I think it came down to Sonora. It didn't really stick. Of course, I live just a few minutes from here, and we expected about 2 feet, and we got about not even an inch, I think. So it was a little hyped up. But up the mountain, though, I will say they did get a lot of snow. I think they got about 5 feet or so in this last storm, but which is great. And, you know, of course, all throughout California, we depend on that snow for our summer recreation. And, of course, our livelihood to drink it as well.
So some of the reservoirs downstream won't go full until the snow melt, right?
Correct. Okay. Yep. They've got to let it out so that they can make room for more.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
More?
We have some really fun trails that we've put together for people, and these aren't like your average like hiking trails. We suggest doing them after hiking. And we have the craft beverage trail, and you can hop on that and visit different wineries in the area and also our breweries and get to taste those local flavors. We also have a hard cider distillery called Indigene Reserve. They have this amazing organic apple ranch, and they create just these incredible hard ciders, and I honestly have not had any better than the ones that they have. So,
oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Welcome to Indigene Reserve. My name is Cassandra Harn.
Whereabouts are you?
We are located in Tuolumne County, nestled in Sonora area.
But you're out of town. You're in the countryside.
About 7 miles away from downtown Sonora area. We're on a 160-acre apple orchard. We offer an array of different things to do here. We have park-like settings. With that 160 acres, we offer walking trails, bike trails, disc golf courses. Main feature is making hard cider and also distilling some apples into brandy and an apple vodka-based limoncello and orangecello as well.
Those trees out there, they're old. They're really mature.
So when we first purchased this property back in 2007, co-founder Jay Watson and Judy Watson bought this from Bob Summers, who was a major developer in the Tuolumne County region. And these trees were planted here for that park-like setting specifically, but they were planted about 30 years ago.
Upstream from here, there's like 100-year-old apple trees. Talk to us about that.
So we also have an 80-acre orchard, which is about 2,000 feet higher in elevation, up in Cedar Ridge area, which is still based in the Tuolumne County region. Those trees up there are 100-year-old trees planted originally for the miners to have a staple crop through winter time. One of our prominent apples that we grow is known as the Arkansas Blacks. People can come here from different tri-county areas just to get some of those apples.
So during they take them home with them.
During apple season, August through November, people can come out here and either hand-pick apples or they can come out to the orchards and we bring them back and let them sort through whatever apples they want.
This is a draw for families, right? Here are kids right now in the background.
Yeah, so again, having that park-like setting, people can come out here and they can picnic. We're open 7 days a week from 10 to 5. People come out here to ride their bikes and just enjoy the beauty. I mean, you have the mountain scenery around you in this little crater. We have lakes here. We have rivers running through this property. And we also host a lot of events out here as well. We have food trucks on weekends where people can come out and just enjoy the day. We have a spring festival, and that is featuring the blossoms and the trees, but we do provide live music out here, and we'll have about 30 craft vendors and a whole bunch of food trucks. So people come out here. We'll be working with Blue Zone projects as well, and we do an array of things too. We have scavenger hunts, we do races out here. Just try to keep it fun and funky for everyone that's enjoying the day, wants to enjoy it with us. Cider really has been prominent for the last 10 years, whereas prior to that you'd find maybe two or three during the season of Thanksgiving, but now it's tending to be similar to beer. Microbreweries coming out and doing a tasting and then being able to stroll around private property with a cup of cider in their hand. Very enjoyable to work here. What we strive to do is hand harvest, hand pruning. We do the fermentation, the bottling, the distillation, and distribution throughout the Tri-County area ourselves. We stay plenty busy.
You never get bored.
No, definitely not.
To learn more about your world, where would you direct?
IndigenyReserve.com. Different events that we host out here, from those bands to sip in paints, to learn more about how you can host an event here or what type of events we have here as well. Again, you picking during the apple season too, which is pretty big, and just some other stuff. And my name is Cassandra Harn. I've been working here for 11 years and I wouldn't change my office view.
I think I met you 10 years ago.
You did. Definitely. I was 21 at the time and loved working at this place. So here I am, still doing everything and thriving just like the apple orchards. Thanks for tuning in.
And then we also have a craft burger trail, because we were seeing that no matter what the restaurant in Tuolumne County, they almost always have a burger.
Got it. So mandatory.
Gotta have a burger. Yeah. So we have that trail as well. And then in Sonora, we started the Sonora Selfie Trail, and we went to the city council and we asked them for their input, and the chief of police.
So you're encouraging this?
Yes. We want people to post their selfies and get those photos, and oftentimes we can use them.
They're your little workhorses, though.
Exactly. Yeah. They just think they're having fun, but we're no, it's really fun. It's fun to see what people gravitate toward when they're doing things like that. I will say I've seen more people downtown lately with cameras out, not just selfie cameras, like selfie cameras, but cell phones, but like taking them the old-fashioned way, the way we used to with an old camera and doing that. And so that's kind of been, that's been a neat thing.
That's really cool.
Yeah. We touched on Hetch Hetchy a little bit, but I think that that is such a cool place too, that a lot of people, they miss it when they go to Yosemite because they're gunning for the valley floor,
right,
where you're going to see you know, all the icons like Half Dome and El Capitan, which are amazing, and mm-hmm. we encourage people to do that. But then if they want to go to someplace that's a little less crowded, Hetch Hetchy, which is the drinking water for San Francisco. And there's quite a history there, and I think it's incredible when you visit and you go out on the dam, they have the history kind of laid out for you. And when you imagine these horse-drawn vehicles that were bringing up the materials needed to build this incredible dam, you know, it's pretty awesome. Yeah. There's some great trails there. There's incredible waterfalls. It's often been referred to as the twin to Yosemite, only it's dammed up. So right. I was just looking at photos the other day before it was dammed, and it really looks a lot like the valley floor. There's, mm-hmm. you know, this El Capitan looking piece, and then the waterfalls. So that's something that we really encourage people to check out. It's very much worth going there. And then we also have the Tuolumne Grove of Giant Sequoias. So sometimes if the other groves, you know, the Mariposa Grove and the Merced Grove, but we have the Tuolumne Grove, and it's the one that has the tree you can walk through. And a lot of people are always looking for that tree, but it's actually in the Tuolumne Grove.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. It's a great outing.
You know you're spoiled, right?
I do. Yeah. Yes. My husband and I spend a lot of time in the high country in the summer. You know, you go up the mountain, the temperature just starts dropping, and pretty incredible. We have little side-by-sides we take out, and we get to go off on these forest roads and see really cool places and really great vistas. And mm-hmm. our goal is always to try and find a place we haven't been yet. Thank goodness for my husband and his sense of direction. He's really good. I would be lost. But we have a great time out there. There is so much to do here. And sometimes we'll just hop in the car and in the summertime go over Highway 108, over Sonora Pass, and then pick up Tioga Pass on the way back. So we're doing a loop going from here and then through Yosemite and back home. It's pretty awesome. We are pretty lucky.
So in addition to international travelers and mm-hmm. people from across America, I know this place is really popular mm-hmm. with people, you know, down in Palo Alto mm-hmm. or the peninsula. Yeah,
it is. You know, the Bay Area is a huge market for us, but it's where so many people have come for generations. And it's that family cabin or that friend when I was little whose parents had this cabin and we used to go every summer, you know, and it's those people that you find them kind of looking for those memories mm-hmm. to relive those times. And that's always really neat, especially if we're at a travel show or talking to someone in the Bay Area. You get that a lot. Just like, oh, Twain Heart. Twain Heart is this cute little alpine town. In fact, that's where my family used to vacation. And then we moved up here like so many people did. Mm-hmm. So in a Blue Zones community yet, or still trying to get there? It is an organization that they work to promote health in a community, and they do this by they're I don't know that they're part of the hospital, but I think they're it's part of our local hospital. It's trying to promote healthy communities, so they'll put on walks or they'll do yoga classes, or they have a yoga class in Sonora I think on Tuesdays every
and
Tuesday.
And what's it called again?
Blue Zones. And it just does promote that wellness angle of, you know, when people come to a place like this, that's often what they're looking for. They want to be in the outdoors and feel mm-hmm. that sense of well-being. And Blue Zones helps to promote that in a number of ways. And we also have several like yoga outlets and spas. And we even have a place where you can soak your feet and have a reading on your feet and what comes out Whoa. Of your feet. It's pretty
that's cosmic. Yeah.
Pretty intense there. Yeah. Yeah, get rid of some of those toxins and things. So this is definitely a destination where people come for that feeling of wellness.
The trend is dark skies.
Oh yeah. Talk yes. Oh my goodness. Yeah, this is an incredible place for that to look at any kind of meteor shower or just stargazing in general. We've gone up on the pass before and just, you know, laid in the back of a truck and just looked up at the sky, and it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Definitely a great place for that. I think
you're real close to the heavens up here.
Very close. Yeah, we go up to about 10,000 feet in Whoa. Elevation. We have near sea level to 10,000, so it's you know, a huge range for sure. One of the things I was going to mention that you might not know is about Cinco de Mayo. So Cinco de Mayo, the very first celebrations were held here in Colombia.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Like the Mexican gold miners?
Exactly. There were the Mexican gold miners. And what happened was in the town of Puebla in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Hoping I get this right. This is my first time verbalizing it, but I've read a lot about it. In the town of Puebla, the French were attacking. And it was the Battle of May 5th, 1862. And the Mexican people held off the French. Wow. And won the battle.
Wow.
And word got back to Colombia and to the Mexican miners. They were filled with pride and with honor, and they started celebrating. And so there you go. That was the first Cinco de Mayo right
in
here.
In California.
In California. That was the first Cinco de Mayo celebration anywhere. I think we often think of it as like a let's go out and have margaritas, but there was really a true celebration. And now we do, just in the last few years, we have a group well, actually, one woman, Mercedes Toon, and her organization called Con Amor, and they put on a big Cinco de Mayo celebration now in downtown Colombia.
Wow.
And it's beautiful. It's colorful. It's happy. And it's a great
How
celebration.
How many people show up for that?
It's a new event. But last year, I mean, there was probably about 500 or so over the weekend. And this year, there's some other things happening around it to promote it a little more. But
so probably 1,000 this year, I bet.
I hope so. I hope there's more than that. It's it was a really great day, you know, celebrating that. And one of those events that it's kind of neat to see start at the beginning and know that it's probably going to be one of those really key events for our area.
That's a great California story.
Yeah, I love that one. When we look at, you know, the recreation in the area and things are kind of evolving and we're getting new things, like we talked about the disc golf a little bit. We also have a company now that does Jeep tours. And what I think is amazing about this Jeep tour, you think you're going to go out and have a tour guide. And you do have a tour guide, but you get to drive the Jeep. And a lot of times people, especially like if they're in the city or something, maybe they don't have a Jeep, but that's one of those vehicles, like, you know, I know for me as a kid, I was like, I always wanted a Jeep. And just to have the opportunity to go out there and drive it and go back in the on the forest roads and, and all that, and have somebody with you that knows where they're going.
So they don't just send you out.
They don't just send you out. No, no, no. But that's a really neat activity and something different and new that we have in the area. And then we also have a really cool company called Echo Adventure Co-op, and they do backcountry tours, but a lot of tours in the Yosemite area. And we'll take people snowshoeing and fly fishing. And so there's just a lot of recreational opportunities here, whether you want to just sort of, like I said earlier, just if you want to kick back next to a lake, or you really want to just go for it and, you know, just do that backcountry hike for 3 days. Or
so it follows that on your website, you would encapsulate everything that you can do here, right? It would be a real one-stop shopping place.
Yes.
To do your homework.
Yes, the website is pretty thorough. You can also book your lodging on our website, and there's a lot of itineraries on there. There's also a lot of content from people who have visited and what they saw when they were here, and and their photos and those things that we pull into the website too. So it's really authentic, and people can see like, oh, those people did that. I want to do that too.
So there's little comments they'll make there.
There's some little comments, but there's, yeah, their photos are all on there, and it's a really nice part of the website, I think. And again, it kind of gives us some insight into what are people doing when they're here, you know, and what are they seeing. So that is really fun as well. But yeah, and we are also, we're a visitor center, and we're happy to help people plan their trips.
Are you going to share with us the website address?
I sure will. TCtoday.com. I like to use that one because then you don't have to spell Tuolumne. So it's visittctoday.com.
Reduce and simplify.
Yes.
I love it. Lisa Mayo, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, it's really cool to come back.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. It's great to see you.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Sonora, California, in the Gold Rush, Sierras of California. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
World Bicycle Relief partners with communities to deliver specially designed, locally assembled, rugged bicycles for people in need. Nearly 1 billion people in rural regions of the world live in communities far from the nearest paved road, walking miles every day just to survive. Distance is a barrier to attending school, receiving health care, delivering goods to market, and other critical services needed to thrive. Find out how you can help deliver rugged, dependable, life-changing bicycles to deserving communities. Log on to worldbicyclerelief.org to learn more.